There's no Jets games for the entire five. They're on the road. They can't even go. Like, the best thing, you go into an opposing city, and then you go and check out a hockey game one night. It's a lot of fun. The Jets, to me, are a fun team to watch. And because, you know, TSN Regional has their broadcast, we don't get to see them very often because it's blacked out. So that's my only beef.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's probably a good thing that they're out of town right now because not a lot of people are in love with the Jets right now. They're kind of they're fighting. The fans and the Jets are fighting right now, so they need some time apart.
What's caused this little rift?
Well, the two wins in the last nine games, and, you know, Andrew Ladd, Dustin Byfuglien still have, they're still not signed. They're in their final years of their contracts. Things are a little tense in the relationship right now.
What do you see happening with those two? And if you could only re-sign one, who is more valuable to re-sign?
Oh, that's a good question. I would think the fan base would probably vote for Andrew Ladd just because Dustin Byfuglien's kind of one of those guys you love or hate sort of thing.
Okay.
But I think the people who want Dustin Byfuglien want him a lot more than the people would want Andrew Ladd. There probably more people want Andrew Ladd, but the people who want Dustin Byfuglien really want to keep Dustin Byfuglien. I think you keep your captain. He's kind of that leader kind of guy. He's won some Stanley Cups. I know Dustin Byfuglien has too, but I think Andrew Ladd's kind of more that guy who you want in your locker room leading the way. So Dustin Byfuglien on defense is always an adventure. I still don't think he's, you know, the kind of guy who's going to win you a Stanley Cup playing defense. Andrew Ladd has the ability to, you know, he's not a top line guy. I don't even know if he's a second line guy, but he's the kind of guy who could probably win you a Stanley Cup a little easier than Byfuglien. So if I had to vote, I'm going with Ladd.
At what point do you think they start thinking, when these guys haven't re-signed, about trading one or both of them?
Well, it's getting dicey. They're already terrible against the Central Division this year. Andre Pavlik is now out until January, their starting goaltender. They lost at home to Colorado last night, the worst team in the Central Division. And they were great against the Central Division last year and barely made it into the playoffs. So if this thing keeps going south, you pretty much have to get rid of one of them. Byfuglien, I'm guessing, is probably that guy. I don't know. Andrew Ladd's mood, I guess, when it comes to contract talks, hasn't been the greatest lately. Obviously, he doesn't want to talk about it, so people kind of stopped asking him. But he didn't seem very happy when he said, nothing's happened, so let's just shut up about it. So I don't know. This thing has the potential to get real interesting real fast if they don't do well with Andre Pavlik out of the lineup.
Kirk, it's interesting. Byfuglien is 30. He'll turn 31 in March, and Ladd is now 29, turning 30 in the new year. And when you look at the NHL, you Jaromir Jagr is obviously a major exception, even Daniel Sedin a little bit this year. But very few of the top guys are over 30 anymore in the National Hockey League. It's so much of a young man's game. And I'm sure Winnipeg would like to re-sign him, but, you know, older guys are always looking for that long-term contract. And then a lot of teams 2 years later end up regretting that they signed it for that. Do you think a three-year deal is in the cards for either one of them?
That's an interesting question. I mean, obviously they're looking for a lot more, and these guys are, if Winnipeg wants to keep these guys, let's face it, Winnipeg is not destination number one. But, and, you know, they've been saying all the right things about wanting to be here, and Dustin Byfuglien's from just down the road in Roseau, Minnesota, so I assume they're going to have to overpay or, you know, overterm. I don't know if that's an expression or not, but give them a little more than they want to keep them or to keep one. I don't know. It's if it's, like I said before, though, if it's gone bad, they're going to have to, they cannot afford to lose both of them. I mean, that would just be catastrophic if they lose both of them at the end of the year. So if they're not even close to the playoffs, boy, they might have to get rid of one and get some picks.
Kirk Pentin joins us. Kirk, the Bombers really were never in it in a year when they were hosting the Grey Cup, which is obviously disappointing. And does it sting even more that a team in their second year of existence is in the Grey Cup, and the Bombers, who have the current longest active drought amongst teams that have consistently been in the CFL, that their fan base has to watch the Ottawa Red Blacks in the Grey Cup.
Yes, it is a point of consternation among Bomber fans this week. It's not just Ottawa. Let's not forget that the Eskimos were 4-14 a couple years ago, and they've turned it around in two short years with Chris Jones as head coach. So the two worst possible teams could be here flaunting it in the face of Bomber fans this week in Winnipeg. The Bombers could not have asked for a worse matchup from a public relations standpoint, for sure.
What's the mood in Winnipeg? This is the fourth time and now the city has hosted the Grey Cup, and well, obviously they're disappointed their team's not in it. Is the city, you know, grasping the Grey Cup? Do you get a sense of, you know, how the festivities are going to be?
It's been kind of slow up to this point. There are still about 1,000 tickets left, and a bunch more, of course, on the secondary ticket market. The fact that the Bombers were not good this year obviously hurt. And another thing that really shot their chances of selling out was Saskatchewan, right next door, not winning a game until September. That really hurt the sales as well, because if the Rough Riders are even in the playoffs, of course, half of Rider Nation thinks that they're going to win the Grey Cup. So they would have been snapping up tickets like mad. But the fact they were 0-9 meant they were never even going to come close to playing in this game. So nobody from Saskatchewan, I'm assuming, bought too many tickets. So there's only going to be 36,634 tickets sold to this game, which is going to be one of the smallest in the last 30 years. And it still has not sold out. So that tells you right there that Winnipeg has not fallen in love with the 103rd Grey Cup. But Winnipeg's kind of known for being that city that once something gets on the national stage, they really seem to get involved and, you know, kind of get going once the event starts going. They seem to really buy into it at that point. So I think now that the teams, I was just here at the airport about half an hour ago when the teams arrived, and now that those teams are here, you kind of get the sense that I think a few more Winnipeggers will probably get on board. And the Ottawa story, I think, is very good for ticket sales as well. I think maybe you might attract a few fans who want to see if Henry Burris and the Red Blacks can get it done.
Yeah, I think so. Edmonton fans, I know the Eskimos have a fan charter that leaves on Friday. They're scooping up some of the tickets. I'm not sure necessarily all 1,000 of them, but the green and gold fan base has been a decade since they've been in the game. So I know there's a few of them that are purchasing some tickets, although many of them are kind of shocked at the ticket price right now. It's rather high, to say the least.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's been rumblings the last few years. Vancouver, although they had 53,000 seats, I believe, to sell last year, but they didn't quite sell it out. And I think part of the reason why people believe was because of the prices, and they've really shot up in the last few years. It used to be just the CFL, where you could go and party and go get a ticket and not have to spend hundreds of dollars just to sit there. A lot of Bomber fans are trying to sell their tickets, partly because the team has been terrible and they tuned out long ago. But some of them say that their Grey Cup ticket cost them more than their entire season ticket, which is crazy when you think about it. So it's going to be an interesting question for Jeffrey Orridge, I think, on Friday when the first-year commissioner gives his State of the League address. And he'll be asked, if not by anyone else, by me, about ticket prices and if that is that's hurting this league.
Well, for sure, I don't think you can ask the everyday fan to be your fan all season long and then for the biggest game of the year suddenly ask them to pay corporate prices. I don't think that makes a whole bunch of sense. Kirk, we will see you in Winnipeg. We arrive tomorrow. Appreciate your time.
All right, I'll be at the airport to pick you up.
Awesome. I love it.